Happy Sunday, Townsend Church. I am here at the church, standing in front of Janice's office on Friday morning is when I've been videoing many of these sermons, and it is a rainy, dreary day out there. But I want you to know I'm excited about this morning's sermon. It's just something that I have worked on and worked through a lot over my life, especially being all the way back to my college days. And so I wanted to share just a thought with you today, something that has challenged me and encouraged me, and I pray that it will be that for you today. So how about we pray and then we'll get into the sermon. God, thank you so much for being amazing and awesome. I just appreciate all that you do. Thank you for the opportunity that you have afforded to us to continue to be able to meet, maybe not in person, but at least online together. But Lord, you know we long for the day of getting back, and thank you for creating that opportunity for us in a couple of weeks. Lord, as we stop our busy weekends, Lord, I know that it's Memorial Day weekend, and I just ask that you allow us to reframe our thinking and be able to focus on you just for a few moments. Pray that you would challenge our hearts today. Thanks for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So as my children were growing up, one of the favorite kid movies that we watched over and over and over again was a little movie called Robots. It was one of our favorites. It caused Emma to truly belly laugh in it. There was one part that she always laughed, which was always cute to us. The boys loved it. And so it was always just a fun movie. And in the movie Robots, there's plenty of characters in there, but there are two that I want to concentrate on. One was Rodney. Rodney was a young robot, a young aspiring inventor, and he wanted to go to where Big Weld was. Now, Big Weld was kind of like the ultimate inventor. He has kind of created this entire city but out of his genius, and Rodney, as he's grown up, that's who he wants to be, and so he sets out on this journey, on this goal, to go and work for Big Weld. But what's interesting is, as Rodney is going along this journey, trying to get to Big Weld, he finds other robots or other scenarios that need his help. Maybe not his help, but he can be a help with them. And so on this journey, he gets not distracted, but pulled away constantly, trying to live out a quip that his dad had given him, which was, see a need, fill a need. And so Rodney, as he's focused on this journey, he recognizes needs along the way, and he realizes that he can fill that need. There are some needs that he could not, but the ones that he could, he paused his pursuit in order to fill that need. And folks, for me, when I think about that, it is so much like our Christian lives. We have an ultimate goal. We want to get to heaven. We want to be in the presence of Jesus for all eternity. And that is the invite that God has given us. And yet, as we are on our journey there, he also invites us to open our eyes to those around us, to see needs and to fill those needs as we can. And so this morning, I want us to think about this whole idea of see a need, fill a need. And what better time right now in this pandemic that we're in to see lots of needs around us and for us to be able to act upon that. But let's set that aside. What if when all of this goes away and we're back to normal life, we forget that? Well, I don't think we should. I think we should continue living this life in that mindset of let's see where a need is at and let's do all that we can to fill it. I think that is a wonderful thing that we should do. In fact, it's part of who I am. If I see a need and I know that I can do something, I'm going to. Sally and I have held that in common for years, and it's such a blessing when we hit the same page on it and we are able to help someone in need. It's a neat thing. So see a need, fill a need. Now, in my lifetime of studying and going after God, one of the best studies that I've ever done, and I've talked about this before, is Henry T. Blackaby of Experiencing God. And there's lots of things in there that has stuck with me since my youth of going through that when I was in college, or right before college. And one of the things that he talks about is this, that God initiates with an invitation. He initiates the contact. God always initiates this contact in some form or fashion. And it's our responsibility to do a couple of things. And two of those things are this. One is we've got to accept that invite. So God initiates the invitation, and it is our responsibility to recognize our need for Him and go to Him in acceptance of that invitation. We have in this world turned this around of, God, if I do this, then you need to do this. And it should be the opposite. God's already done all that He needs to do. And it's our responsibility to go to Him and accept what He has done, that it's enough. And we have become a very selfish, self-centered Christian of, okay, I've accepted that, but now it's your turn to bless me and give me what I want, what I need. And that's not how this works. So God initiates this invitation. He's the first one to act. Our job is to accept it, believe it, trust it, and then to continue to seek Him and accept the tasks along the way. So again, I look at it as, okay, I accept that God is who He is, and He has provided a way for me to be able to follow Him. I accept that. And as I'm following Him with this ultimate goal of getting to heaven and spend eternity with Him, I need to pay attention, because on my seeking journey, there are going to be needs around me that He invites me to be a part of that I can help, and I need to accept those tasks along the way. I need to see a need to fill the need. Now, I want you to think about these people in our spiritual history. Noah, there was a need. God saw a need, and He initiated contact with Noah and invited him into a job, a responsibility, in order to fill the need that God had, and Noah built a boat. Abraham, listen, this is a weird need, but God needed to see where Abraham was at. He wanted to see where Abraham's faith was at, and He asked him to sacrifice his son to see if Abraham was willing to put his own desires and own wants and needs aside in order to meet God where he was at, to trust God. And he successfully did that, not sacrificing his son, but being willing to put Abraham's needs aside and to meet God where he was. Moses, hey, Moses, you know what? Go walk through a desert for a while, or go walk through a sea to get away from the Egyptians. Hang out in a desert. Moses did that. He saw the need of the people while he was in the desert, of needing water and food, and he went to God. Even though they were grumbling and complaining, and God was tired of it, and Moses got tired of it, and yet it wasn't about that. It was about meeting the need of the people. Joshua needed to overtake Jericho. This was a need. They needed to overtake their land. This was a land that God had promised to them. And God says, hey, go walk around a wall. That's a weird thing. And yet God initiated this invitation to join him in this weird job in order to meet a different need. And Joshua succeeded in that. You've got prophets who go to all the people and try to preach to them and teach to them and guide them, knowing that a lot of them didn't want it. I think of Jonah. Jonah knew that he didn't really want to go to these people, because they were going to accept it at first and probably turn away. But that wasn't the responsibility that God initiated. It was, you just go and teach and preach. You let me worry about all that other stuff. And folks, in our lives, there are so many things about this that God initiates, and that we need to be willing to accept. Okay, God is initiating this, so I need to see where He's at work, and I need to go join Him. That is our job. That is our lot in this life now. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we say, God, I trust what You've done, I'm going to follow You. Now our job is to continually pay attention, have our head on a swivel. It says, be sober, be clear-minded, always paying attention. Why? Because God is at work around us all the time. Let's get into the New Testament. John the Baptist. John the Baptist lived out in the desert eating locusts and honey, living in camel's hair, baptizing people. He maintained his focus. It wasn't about what he wanted or who he was. It was about the fact that God had initiated contact with John the Baptist and said, I got a job for you. I need you to meet the needs of these people as I prepare the way for my son, for the Savior of the world. And John did that. Jesus, think about this. Jesus is laying on the cross, dying. He's hanging there. And he feels the weight of the world. And yet he put his own needs aside because he saw a bigger need at play. The initiation of the invitation from God was, you need to lay down your life for my people, for the people who will trust you, for those that will follow me. I need you to lay down your life for those that won't follow me, for those that will never even accept that they need me. Jesus, I need you to put what you want aside and give your life for these people. Wow. See a need, fill a need. Think about the disciples. The disciples come out of nowhere. You've got fishermen, you've got tax collectors, you've got other guys that we weren't really sure what they were doing, but these guys were just common folks, but they saw something different in Jesus and they trusted him. And in the midst of trusting him and following him, they saw needs upon needs and they began to fill them. And when Jesus left, instead of cowering and going back to what they did, they got busy doing what God called them to do. They saw the needs of the people. They saw the need of people needing a Savior, and they went to fill those needs. I love the story of Paul. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. But the story of Paul is huge in this one. Paul, listen, if anything, Paul had the biggest change. He went from killing Christians to leading people to Christ, making Christians, making disciples. And Paul saw the need. He saw the need in the government. He saw the need in religious leaders. He saw the need in the Gentiles and in the Jews. And he went after every one of them. He saw the need and he did everything that he could to fulfill that need. Now, Paul had a bunch of workers that went with him. I think of Epaphroditus, who saw the needs that Paul had and met his needs. This is another one that is kind of an unknown person for us, but knew that God had a bigger plan and was able to accept that and see the needs around him and met the needs. Priscilla and Aquila, they were workers with him and they saw something special in what Paul was sharing and they wanted in and they saw the needs that Paul had and they met his needs. Folks, listen, we have to understand that God is always at work around us. Again, this is another great quote from Henry T. Blackaby. God is always at work. We may not see it specifically as a Bible story or what we want it to be, but God is always doing something. I even think about this pandemic. God is at work in a big way. Is he preparing for the end? Is he preparing us for something bigger? Is he getting us ready for something else that's coming? Yes. I think yes to all of that. We have to always look at the scenarios in our lives as this is preparation for something to come later. I honestly can look back over my life and piece things together that at the time that they were happening, I'm like, why is this happening? This is so weird. This is out of the ordinary. But now looking back, I see it as absolute preparation for my life. I can also look back at certain instances where I didn't use those times wisely in preparation for my life. And so our responsibility after this initial initiation by God to be invited into a relationship with Him, after we accept that and we enter into that relationship with Him, now our job, now our responsibility is to continue to seek Him as we look for Him at work around us. And as we see Him at work around us, we need to jump in and fill the need that we can fill. That doesn't mean we have to fill the entire need, but we do our part. How do we do that? Well, I think Jesus has talked to us a lot about this, and we go back and forth over this all the time. We've got to love God first and love others. That is how we carry out this whole idea of seeing a need and filling a need. That is how we figure out where God is at work, by loving Him first and going after Him and understanding how He works. Because in order to love others, we've got to understand where He's at work first in order to see that need as God wants us to see it so that we can fill it by loving others. There's a great passage of scripture in Luke chapter 10. We know it as the Good Samaritan. And in the story of the Good Samaritan, the question has been raised to Jesus, been asked and said, who's my neighbor? How am I supposed to love my neighbor? Because If you say that the greatest commandment is to love my neighbor as myself, then who is my neighbor? Now, there were two great commandments. It was love God and love others. But the lawyer that's asking this question is trying to mess with Jesus. And Jesus tells the story of defining who our neighbor is. And he tells the story of a Jewish man who has been beaten up and robbed and basically left for dead, if we want to call it that. But he has nothing on him. Naked. No money. No way to communicate. He's just beat up. And two religious men that Jesus talks about walks by. One literally walks to the other side of the road and leaves. The other one actually walks over to look at him and then just continues on his way. Religious people who should have known what their God was doing, should have seen that their God was at work in creating an opportunity to build a bridge, to continue doing life with someone else in need. And they just left that need and went right by it. It took a Samaritan man, a man who in his culture probably warred very much with the culture of the Jews. They didn't get along. They didn't mix very well. They didn't work together. And yet the Samaritan man saw a need which was greater than the cultural difference, which was greater than the spiritual difference, which was greater than any other worldly thing that we can come up with an excuse that we won't help someone. This man shows in this parable that Jesus tells that it's not about anything other than this is an opportunity for God to be glorified. Let's look at Luke chapter 10 really quick, just a few verses, and let's see how far this man goes. Verse 34, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. This isn't cheap stuff, by the way. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. This Samaritan man was on a journey. He was heading somewhere else to do something else. And he saw a need and he paused his life. He used his own supplies to bandage a man that probably culturally would never have spoken to him. Put him on his own donkey and leads him back to the city or town. On the next day, so he stays the night with this dude to watch over him. When he leaves, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him. Now, if we were to stop right there and reading this, we'd be like, that makes sense. He's done his job. I would have stopped at just saying, hey, are you okay? And felt good. That's what many of us would say. Many of us would say, well, at least I would have bandaged him and poured the oil and wine like the Samaritan man. That would have been enough. Some of us would have said, no, I would have gone as far as to at least put him on my donkey and taking to the town and at least leaving there to where somebody else could take care of him. This guy went far beyond exemplifying what it looks like to see a need, fill a need. He not only put him on his own donkey, he took him to an inn, which could be like a hotel motel, or it could be like a kind of a dock in a box where you are able to stay, like an infirmary type place. And he not only just pays for the time there, but he spends the night with this guy. He has put his entire life on hold. He has seen a need and he's filling it. And then when he gets up the next morning, he leaves. But he doesn't just leave. He says, take care of him. Watch over this guy. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay of you. This is going far above and beyond that we would, most of us would do in this day and age that we live. This guy not only said, hey, I'm paying you for the night, but continue to let him stay here and take care of him. I will come back to check on him. And if there's any more costs involved, I will take care of that. Wow. Talk about seeing a need and filling a need. This guy had his own agenda. He was trying to go somewhere else and do something else, but he put that on pause. That's going to be there. But he saw the opportunity to honor him, maybe his own religion, maybe his own following, his own thing, but he saw a need and he chose to fill it. But here's where we get stuck. When the focus is on me, the invitation becomes exhausting. Now, I know I just switched gears really hard, really fast there, but I want you to think about this. We just saw a perfect example of what it looks like to see a need, fill a need after we've accepted the call from Jesus. But what happens is, as we get focused on me trying to get to heaven, we don't focus on the needs and where God is at work around us. And we get focused on me, what I'm getting, what I need, what I want. And this idea of I'm supposed to help everybody around us gets exhausting to us. Because we're distracted. We're distracted from the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal, yes, is to get to heaven, but is to live out this life for Him by loving Him first and loving others as we love ourselves, as our own neighbor. And so we get so focused on me of what I'm getting, what I'm not getting, what I'm able to do, what I'm not able to do, what I have, what I don't have, what they have, what I don't have. All of these things distract us from the idea of our job is to not keep up with the Joneses, is not to be like everybody else. Our responsibility is to love God first and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And how do we do that? For me, right now, where I live, it is recognizing that God is at work around me, seeing a need, and filling that need. But again, that can be exhausting when we start focusing on ourselves. Galatians 6:9 is the verse of the month for the children in Children's Church that Tim has been doing an excellent job teaching them. And so the verse that is there is this. It's, and let us not grow weary while doing good. Hey, let's not get tired of going after God. Let's not get tired of trying to see needs around us and filling them. If we can keep that balance, that healthy balance of going after God and seeing needs and filling them, we'll be just fine because He is the giver of strength. He is the giver of the peace. He is the giver of life that we need. He gives us the energy to continue going. Because in due season, we will reap if we do not lose heart. Now, many of us want to reap here on the earth. What if that's not where we reap? What if it's both? What if it's we reap some great rewards, but the rewards are not money, monetary, or gifts? What if it's the peace, the rest, the encouragement? What if we gain heaven? What if that's what we are going after? It shouldn't matter about the harvest or what we gain. It's about, hey, let's stay the course of honoring God, of loving Him first and loving our neighbors as ourselves. In fact, we need to recognize the opportunity. We need to live life in such a way that we are able to see where God is at work. But when we recognize the opportunity, we need to be willing to change in order to answer the invitation. We cannot continue to answer the invitation the way that we have always answered it. The needs around us change. The way our world around us changes. Now, that does not mean we change in our stances of how we follow God, but it means we need to change and accommodate in the way that we see the needs around us and fill them. We don't go away from what we believe and how we feel about God, but we can accommodate and work with those needs around us. We got to be willing to change to some degree. You know, there's a great story that is attached to the story of Paul, and I want to show you the passage here. When Paul was met on the Damascus Road, when he was first Saul, and as he's killing these Christians and on his way to arrest some more, he is met by a blinding light, which is the Lord Jesus. And Jesus and he has this conversation, and he is blinded, and he's blinded for 3 days. And in this time of blindness, his life has had to be put on hold, and he's trying to figure it all out and what it looks like to follow God because he's ready to follow Him. He knows that it was God that called him. And he knows that there's another job waiting for him. There's other needs that he needs to fill, and he's ready to go, but he can't because he's blind. And so he is visited by Ananias. Now, Ananias and God have this conversation. Because God goes to Ananias and says, hey, I want you to go and talk to this guy. And he's like, no. Do you know who this man is? That's a funny question to ask God. But he's like, do you really know who this man is? Like, he's Saul, the Christian killer. You want me to put my life on the line? You want me to go fill that need? This man is in tune with God. He is seeing where God is at work, and he is being invited to join him in this job. And Ananias is like, ah, really? There's that internal battle that we all face of, okay, I see what I want to do. I see the danger that it puts me in. But God, I hear you. I want to follow you. I want to submit everything that I have to you. And I see the need. Help me to fill it. And so look at this passage. The Lord says to him, go. Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. He's telling Ananias, listen, buddy, this is so important. You have no idea how important this young man is, this gentleman that I have rescued out of his craziness, this anger that he had, this dire need to arrest Christians and kill them. I've got him out of that because I can use him. I need him to go before kings because he's knowledgeable and well-spoken. I need him to go to the Gentiles because the message that he's going to have is for them. I need him to be able to go to the Jews because he's a Jew. And he can speak their language and help them understand. I need him. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my sake. Listen, he's going to pay for the things that he's done. There's going to be a lot of things that's going to happen to him that he may seem or think is unfair, but it's the need that I have, and he can fulfill it. He can withstand it. He can do it. And Ananias went his way. Ananias stopped the conversation and said, yes. And he went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, love that. Ananias accepted what God was saying to him right off the bat. Had a brief conversation, but he trusted God. And when he went to Saul, the Christian killer, he trusted God's word so much that he said, Brother Saul. He brought him right into the fold. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts chapter 9. Here's the neat thing. This was a need that nobody else wanted to feel. Going to Saul, the Christian killer. Nobody wanted to be around him as believers because they knew if they did, he would imprison them, he would torture them, and potentially kill them. He had orders to do that. He had permission to legally do this. But when God visited Ananias, Ananias was so in tune to God and had accepted the invitation time and time again from God that when God spoke and shared after the initial worry and angst that we all have, he trusted God so much that he went to this Christian killer that God had changed. And he said, hey, God's got something special from you. You had been visited by Jesus, and it is time you do work. And in that instant, the scales fell from his eyes, and he hung around and stayed with Ananias for quite a while after that. Then he traveled to the disciples. And he spent time with them learning and growing. And then when it was time to go, after Paul had accepted this invitation from God, Paul's life, drastically changed. And he began seeing the needs around him, and he began meeting those one by one without regard for his own life. So I want you to think about this. God initiates. God is always the one that initiates. It's the question of, are we paying attention to see it? He initiates that first initial contact of, hey, I know you. I created you. I love you. And what I would like for you to do for me today is trust me that I know what's best for you. That is what God is saying to many of us, even now, because we've never heard that before. We've never accepted him and trusted him as our Lord and Savior. And he invites us. He initiates this conversation with us. And it is our job to respond. And by the way, we respond one way or the other. Whether we say yes or no. If we don't say anything, it's a no. And so our job is to listen for this invitation from God and to respond in such a way that invites this relationship between the two of us, that creates a bond that cannot be broken. And it's interesting how that works. And as we respond to him, he begins to change us for the better. As we begin to love him more, we begin to understand who he is and who we are in him. And it begins to change us. And as we begin to change, we begin to change our sight line. We begin to change our vision of how we see life and those around us. And we begin to love others more than ourselves. We love them as ourselves. And so as we begin to love God and we begin to love our neighbor as ourselves, we begin to change who we are. We become less of us and more of Him. And when we are able to do that, He continues to initiate invitations into His work. He begins revealing to us where He's at work. In other words, He begins showing us needs that we can fill, that He would ask us to fill. And we begin being used by Him. And when we are used by Him, by seeing those needs and filling those needs, God's purpose is fulfilled. Folks, we are in an unusual time in our life, but we can't only think about these things right now. These, for me, are life lessons that we should be learning and allowing to infiltrate our lives to make us better. We should always be looking around, seeing a need and filling a need. This isn't just for a pandemic. This isn't just for when it's hard times or when it's convenient. This, for me, is something we need to live by, because it is showing that we are loving God first and loving our neighbor as ourselves. It is exemplifying to those around us that we are followers of Christ, that we are willing to put our needs aside in order to meet the needs of other people. And again, don't tackle Mount Everest if you've never hiked a mountain. Don't tackle a marathon if you've never ran 30 yards. We need to start small, but open our eyes to needs around us and fulfill those needs the best we can so that God gets the glory for it. But in order to do that, we've got to love Him first. Not only do we need to love Him first, but we have to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that may require us to lay some things down and change our stances on how we see people. We stick to our spiritual values, but maybe how we see people needs to change to how God sees people. This week, try to practice this. Try to see a need around you, whether it's through Facebook, whether it's through social media, whether it's through your neighbors, whether it's at the grocery store. Many of you have come this weekend and helped us out with our food drive. That was seeing a need, filling a need, and I really appreciate that. It was great to see many of you come by and drop stuff off. Lord, folks, there are so many different things out there. There are so many needs out there. Let's see those needs and let's fill those needs. Let's be the hands and feet of Jesus the way that we're supposed to be. God bless you. Let's close in prayer. God, thank you again for your invitation to us, not only to follow you, but to be your hands and feet by seeing needs and filling those needs. May you be glorified in all things. May we be like Ananias, that when you call on us, we are willing to go, even though we might be a little fearful. May we be like the Good Samaritan who initially saw that need and put his life on hold to fill it. God, we have needs in our churches. We have needs in our town. We have needs in our country. We have needs in our world. May you open our eyes as we follow you closer to the needs around us, as you are always at work around us. Help us to know how to fill those needs that we can. We love you, we praise you, and thank you. Thanks for being awesome and amazing. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, target date, June 7th, in a couple of weeks. There'll be more information coming, but I look forward to seeing you then. God bless you. Have a great day.